To have you here. For those of you visiting us, it's also wonderful to have all of you guys here. And as the school holiday is now finished, I know we've got a teacher or two in the house and in the family. Now it's back to school for you guys as well. And now usually this block here is quite empty. We miss the youth, the young people. And I know that and trust that most of you who went away, I know some of you went away a little bit for the holiday, that you would have enjoyed it. There was a lot of public holidays and weekends. So now we are all back again, or not yet all back, but I think most of us will be back soon, and then things can start again, and the wheels can start to roll. So just one or two announcements from my side. First of all, and I hope you will be okay with that, our family is going on a bit of leave at the end of May. On the 29th of May, Paul Buta will be standing in for me, and then on the 5th, David, which isn't here, David Resant, the 5th of June, he will be in the pulpit, and then after that, we will be back. Also, just something that it was announced that Pastor Sias Leroux will be coming to Swakopmund and to Windhoek to preach here. So I want to encourage you guys, please invite any friends or family, especially for that Sunday. Evening, we're going to have an evening service then, because you will, on the Sunday morning you will be in Swakopmund. I've already let you know, notify some of you guys, but we will with the church bus, and if there's more people, we'll have to arrange it. We will go through, you will be doing that SOS, which is the School of the Supernatural. Now that specifically refers to evangelism and outreach, and really to trust God on that, and to bring people into the kingdom of God. So we will say a little bit more about that. We want to make a few arrangements, and we would like to go all through to Swakopmund. By the way, maybe by the show of hands, how many of you would be interested in something like that? I know some of you already said you would like to do it. I know in Stellenbosch and other churches, they're doing it with great success. So please give your names up, and we're going to make the necessary arrangements, as many as possible. We'll probably leave on Saturday morning early, and then only come back Sunday morning after the church service that side, but we will be back in time for the service here in Windhoek. And then also that the lists that was announced for the evangelism, Marius and Blanche, they're going to be the group leaders for the two teams. Thank you, Martha. So please sign up your names. We're trying our best to get that thing to start rolling, and we just need to get the admin right. So if you can just give your names and your cell phone numbers, then they can let you know every time where will we get together, at what time, etc. And then as well, the youth will start again on Sunday afternoons from next week onwards. If you want to join maybe or help, then please speak to Paul Buta. Can you, Paul, please raise his hand? I'm sure most of you know Paul. I think that's about the announcements from my side. So before I start with the sermon, let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you for this day, Lord God, that we can live, Lord God, that we can be in your house and in your church. Father God, that we can bring our worship to you, and that we can glorify you this morning, Lord God. And thank you that we can sense, Lord God, that seasons are turning, Lord God. We could all feel early morning, the winter are approaching, Lord God, and things are getting cooler, Father God. You're in our beautiful Windhoek, Father God. And as likewise, Lord, we know in our own lives, Lord God, that you also give us seasons and times, Lord God. We see all the little ones, all the babies in the house, Lord God, and we know they are growing up, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with so many new offspring, Father God, in our church. It's such a blessing, Lord God. And this morning I also want to bring the pregnant ladies before you, Father God, that where Krista and Marisa, Lord God, where those little girls will be born soon, Lord God. Lord, we want to trust you, Lord God, for blessing and protection, Father God, and that we can all come to church one day, and that they will be here, Father God. And thank you for all people that have been growing, Lord, for people that you've been adding to us, Father God, and for all our brothers and sisters that's not in the house this morning, Lord God, I pray that you'll bless them where they are, Lord God, and that your hand will be with them, Lord God. And Lord, specifically for this morning, Lord, I want to trust you, Lord God, that you'll minister to our hearts and our spirits, Lord God, that the words that will be shared, Lord God, that we can take it home, and that we can meditate on it and think about it, Lord God, and that we can make it part of our own lives, Lord God, and that we can live it, Father God. I pray that you'll open our spirits, Lord God, and I trust, Lord God, that as we were worshiping this morning and stepping into your presence, Father God, I trust, Lord God, that yes, Lord, for this week as well, Lord, that we won't try to do things in our own strength, Lord, that we will just stand back and give glory to you, Father God, and ask you for strength, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So those of you enjoyed the long weekends or school holiday, the past 4 weeks we talked, I ministered on prayer, we looked at praying like a Hannah, praying without ceasing. We looked at the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus was obviously the specialist in prayer, as I said, because he knows prayer from two sides. He prayed as a human while he was in ministry here on the earth. And then also, as you know, he's obviously our mediator between God and ourselves. As we pray in Jesus' name. We agree on that. So he knows exactly what prayer is about. And that is why we went to Scripture and we had a look about what prayer is on. And I really trust, for me, myself, going through this, it blessed me a lot. And I trust and hope that there was in your own lives also testimonies about things that we maybe have forgotten a little bit about and that the Holy Spirit reminded us on, or even prayer. I'm sure Nadia won't mention that I share this, but just in the week, you know, on my own life, Wednesday was a tough day. It was a bit of a challenging day in a few ways, and that evening I got home and I just felt like discouraged and a bit negative in a sense. And that evening I went to bed and just said to God, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. As I said in that previous sermon, hallowed be your name. And I just gave everything over to God. And you know, the next Thursday morning, so many things just turned around. And I just felt so much different. And I just felt God blessed me so much by praying, you know. And as I said, I'm sure my friend Nadia won't mind, but Wednesday or Tuesday we went to the house. Little Zoe was quite sick. And we went to them and we just agreed all together, me and Maritza and Karina and Odia and his mother, and we just prayed together and we trust that she will get sick. You know, and many times things like that happen. There's a lot of parents here in the house, you know, and we will all, someone, what's happening here at the back? I see smiles on a lot of your faces. So either it's my English again, or something's happening. I know by the end of last sermon, little Alvin was marching in here at the back, and he got hold of the aeroplane. So maybe you just all feel blessed or something. Say again. I know I did something wrong. Okay. Thank you, Apostle Paul. We appreciate that. We break that in the name of Jesus. That is definitely not what we pray that you will get healed, you know. So thanks for the lighter moment and for helping the pastor. I think in the second sermon, I shared a few things, a few quotes on prayer. And one of them was, if you want a better pastor, pray for the one that you have. So please, I know that you've been doing that. And I think that goes for our marriages, our bosses, our kids. You know, we can't change them always, your family. So pray for those that you have, and God will hopefully trust that He will turn them into better wives and husbands and bosses and things like that. Okay, now we can go on again. So this morning, I actually want to end with the series on prayer. But I'm not going to actually end with prayer itself. I'm going to end with For His Glory. That's also the name of my sermon. You know, and it just came to my heart as I wanted, just before I was got this new revelation about how to pray for sick or not being sick. What I actually wanted to say is that usually when our kids are sick, when family are sick, when things are really tough, then we go to God and we ask Him, Lord, how can this be? How does these things work? Gustav has been 2 years ago, he has been in the hospital, he's had a bad fever. And you know, many times we ask ourselves, how does these bad things happen? Family gets sick. People lost their lives or their work, car accidents, stuff like that does happen. We all know that we in this age, we live in a broken world, that these things will happen. But you know, we're not left on our own. We're not just helpless. And that is why it's such a big testimony. And I thank you for Nudia that I can share it. That when we went there and we prayed for little Zoe, we all agreed and we said, Lord God, we can't twist your arm, we can't pay you, we can't give you a gift or anything and then kind of bribe you into healing one of us. You know, we can't do that. But what we can do is we can come together, Scripture say, we agree on something, we pray in Jesus' name, and then we trust, and then we believe. Because we're asking our Heavenly Father, or we're asking the good Father. And as I said last week, you know, when we ask, when even we that are broken people, that are evil, Scripture says, you know, if our kids ask us for a bread or something, an egg, you know, we won't give them a scorpion or a serpent. And so much more. God, which is our Heavenly Father, He wants to abundantly give us better things. But the big thing that all of us must keep in mind, and something I learned just again, is God isn't into magic. We can't just say, God, please heal, and then, you know, the way we want it, it will exactly happen. As I said also, when we pray together, when we trust for something, you know, and God comes through, then it will, everything that God does, is to glorify His name, to glorify Him. And that was so beautiful when we look at that clip of the CD that is launched right now in South Africa and will be available in Namibia as well. I know in the UK as too. And he talked to Richard Wade. Then he said, you know, it was so easy to write about just glorifying God. And that's also the thing that I'm going to end off with. We talked a lot about prayer, and so many times we ask ourselves now, where is God? Why does this don't happen? You know, where is God in all of this? And the thing that we should just remember is God is the good Father. He knows exactly when and what to give to us. And the more of us that is praying about something, the more of us will glorify God that it comes through. Most of you will know by now that we have applied for that property in Auersbleek with the municipality that we want to buy. I told you guys, I had a feeling in my heart that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a bit difficult. And Thursday we got a letter from the municipality, and it said the plot was already sold. Now that's very interesting. I'm not going to go into it too much. But the fact is, you know, when we applied, it was still available, and something must have happened in there. I'm not going to go into that. But the way God works, there's already a new property for us that we can have a look at. That actually a friend of Pastor Fred showed us, or he informed us about it. So I'm not sure how it's going to work, what's going to happen, but I believe in my heart that through all of us, the prayers that we had in intercession, that God did say, we are going to move. He is going to give us something. So how and where and exactly it's going to work, I can't tell you. But what I do know is, the more of us that is praying and interceding, the more of us at the end of the day will say, praise God, thank you, Here. Thank you, Lord, that you came through for us. And that's the same when there's something we have to trust for. So I'm going to end off, and you'll see I want to link this to prayer. You know, and I want to actually leave you this morning with a bit of homework. I'm gonna teach, and I'm going to talk about a few things, but it's something that I can't just impart to your hearts. There's something I'm trusting God that must happen in all our hearts this morning, and then when we go home and when we live in the week, we must go and practice it in our own spirits. We must go and learn it from God ourselves. So just one or two definitions. When I went to the chambers to have a look about glorifying God, it said, to praise, to worship, to exalt, to adore, to honor, to bless, to magnify, to revere. And then I also have a quote from Pastor John Bevere, or not John Bevere, John Piper. I really admire him, and I enjoy his teachings quite a lot. If you want to go and have a look at his website, Design God, it's really solid and really a blessing. And he said, the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of His manifold perfections. Now, most of you know me quite well, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but let me read you a few scriptures before we progress. Isaiah 48 verse 11, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. We all know that God is a jealous God, you know. He's really serious about His name, about who He is. That He said in many places in Scripture, we should not serve any other God or use His name in vain. In Jeremiah 13 verse 11 we read, for as the waistcloth clings to the loins of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, says the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, a glory. You know, so God created them that they can glorify Him, you know. And that is, I think, for all of us, when I look at my boys, the other day they were playing there in the sitting room, and Alvin made this wonderful flip-flops, or I don't know what to call it in English, and I just looked up then and I was so proud, you know. When our kids get something right, we feel proud about it. We want them to excel. And the same here, God said, He made Israel and Judah a people for Him, that He can be satisfied, that He can be glorified. Okay, and I believe it's for all of us. It's for all of us. Now, you know, God created us, and He gave us also the opportunity to create. You know, that is why we can have little children, and if you go and look in the kiddies room, you'll see a lot of them. We are growing numbers in that area. But also, I believe in my heart, you know, and I really try to sit still and to pray and think about this. You know, God gave us the ability to create, so when we go back 1,000 or 2 years ago, we will see that science and these things weren't that advanced as now. you know, we can all go to Eros Airport or to Siyakutake International, and we can fly to London or to Cape Town and something. And I think God must be proud of us when we invent something like that. When we have signs, you know, every second week there's a new type of Skype or Fring or something like that. Maritza is quite updated on that. I just hear about these things a lot of the times. And I'm on Facebook as well. And if you go and read the remarks there, you'll see our friend Pastor Jan Korbrink said, you must better start to read the book of Revelation now. The end is close. God is on Facebook. So if you're going to have a look, I hold out for a long time, but I'm also a Facebooker now. But the point I want to make is that God gave us intellect, He gave us skills that we can research, that we can understand, that we can do things. And I know, and I believe, somehow, unfortunately, not everyone glorifies God. You know, if you ran a race and you won it, and you can say all honor and praise to God, you know, then you glorify Him for the gift that He has given you. Some people, unfortunately, don't believe in the Lord yet, but they, you know, they think it's their own abilities and their own skills. But, you know, at a certain time, we were all small little babies, and we could do almost nothing for ourselves. And God gave us the grace to grow, to understand, and things like that. Now, and yeah, if you look at science or music or all these things, you know, I believe God gave us those abilities, those talents, that He can glorify His name. And that is something I want us to go home with. That whatever we do in the week, where we drive, what we earn, no matter what it is, that we can understand and know, guys, that that we should glorify God in that. When you look at your kids, at your house, at your car, your work, say thank you to the Lord and glorify Him for what He has done in your life. Now, two scriptures I really enjoy quite a lot. My dad is here this morning and it's really nice. You know, when I was young, now this is just my own life and I'm going to testify from that. You know me by now. I remember when we were young kids, I'm talking primary school now, we used to drive from Stellenbosch in South Africa to Namibia. You know, I enjoyed it. It was the best part of the holiday, almost, just to be able to drive north. You know, and as we leave the city and everything behind, Table Mountain, life just got bigger. And when we crossed the Orange River, life was great, you know. I think that first few yards of black sand just north of Fuelsdrift, I like it. I like it a lot, you know, because I don't like the city life. Okay, that's not typical who I am. I never had the ambition to live in Joburg or London or one of those places. So I saw, even though some of you, it's a small deception, we'll have to break it, you believe that Stellenbosch is this beautiful place with the vineyards and the mountains. Guys, I promise you, we live in the milk of the land of milk and honey. This is the best place. You have seen all the rain. This is where we should be. Okay, now that's not very scriptural, but I'm just sharing it with you because I'll get to a point. I want to read two scriptures to you. And that's Psalm 19, verse 1. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Now, on a good, beautiful night like last night, there were no clouds, and you were to look, you were to go and lay on your back and look at all the stars, and you just start to ask yourself that questions like, where does God come from? How big is the universe? How many miles? All those type of things. Then we get very quickly to a point where we will all see we are very small, God is very big. Okay, now you're thinking maybe how am I linking this to prayer? And it's exactly the point I want to make, is that when we, many things, I testified, you know, when all three of our kids were born, I was standing there, I was looking at what's happening, and I was totally, I've got no medical background or anything, and I know that I could do nothing. If there were to go something wrong, I would just have to trust the doctors all the way. You know, I was always praying when our kids were born. And that's the point that I want to make. When we go and sit still, when we look at nature, the visible attributes, everything about God, His character, that's why it starts in Luke 11. It says, hallowed be your name. We should all know who we are praying to. Okay, it's something important that many times people drive and will say, please God, let the light be green, or let I have a nice day at work, or anything like that. But we should remember that who we are praying to, who we are trusting for. And then in Romans 1 verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, usually when I drive in Namibia and I look around me, this morning earlier I was sitting in my office at home, and I could discern three types of birds. that were singing. Okay, now maybe you think this morning I just want to go farm. Okay, but please, I want to make a point here, and this is my testimony. And I just was listening to that, and the day was breaking, and it was so special, it was so pure, it was so new, it was so perfect. And Reinhold, if you give that one of those pictures that I've on the, I just all of you want to see it. I've got two pictures. It's a little bit light, but you can see this is Tokyo in Japan. There's just buildings and concrete and tar. And if you go to the next picture, Reinhold, you can't see very clearly. This is actually not crops. It's houses, guys. Here in the middle, this is in Mexico City, in Southern America. That, in the middle, that's an avenue with trees. But everything, all the rest, as I said, it's not that clear, unfortunately. It's houses and buildings and houses and buildings. Now, you know, when you can't look at the skies or you don't hear the birds, or if you don't drive to the airport and you don't see almost a vlakvark and a kameelpaard, you know, we are so privileged to see all these things. You must listen now. That is something. We, as I say, these scriptures, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So as I said, I believe we are so fortunate that we can live here, we can drive somewhere, that we can see nature, that we can see animals, that you don't just see the bright lights of the city. Okay, I don't say this morning city life is bad. We all live here. Windhoek is a nice place. That's not the point I want to make. But I believe we are so privileged to have nature all around us. And scripture, I've read two scriptures now where you can see that God created it. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. I sat there in my desk and I was thinking about the glory of God and what should I say? And I asked Lord, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to say? And I went to Exodus. And I looked there and I found the word glory. I found it 14 times. And then I went to the Psalms and I counted it. We have got tools like Eastward that makes it a bit easier. But I found it 55 times, you know, referring to the glory of God. And as I said, I read those two definitions to you. Everything that we are, that we can be, must glorify God, you know. And I want to link it to prayer in the fact that when we pray for our kids, when we trust for a job, when we trust for a new venue, and that happens, God comes through for us because He believes it, you know, God knows better than us, that we can glorify Him. I want to read a few of those scriptures to you. Psalm 113, verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory, because of Your mercy, because of Your truth. Psalm 138, verse 5. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And in Psalm 145, verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom, and talk of the of Your power. And I can go on and on. As I said, I counted about 55 scriptures, verses, just referring to the glory of God. You know, now, many times we will look at a situation between with almost our 8 to 5 normal day of work glasses, and then we won't understand. But I want to make this point again this morning, that we will understand and know how big God is, that He created. You know, He's the Alpha and the Omega, He's the beginning and the end. Scripture says so. He started history, and He's going to end it. You know, you can drive, me and Marius was just talking about it this morning in Windhoek, and you'll see the billboards that says, I think the end of May, Jesus is coming back, and it's everything like that. Now, I believe that's a lie. And the reason why I said it, Scripture would have told us if we were to know exactly when the Lord would have come back. All of us, you know, Jesus said He will come back like a thief in the night. Not that He's a thief, but like very, very unpredicted. Now, we can see a lot of things happening in the world, and we can read scripture, and we can compare it, and many people will come to different conclusions. But if someone were to know exactly the day that the Lord came back, I don't really believe that's very biblical or very scriptural. Some other point that I want to make, I never know that. I think we all grew up, my kids also watched the DVD of the Moses and the Israelites, how they left Egypt and how they moved out there and the manna and the fire and the cloud and everything that happened. But something I only noticed about 8 years ago when I read one of John Bevere's books, it's called Undercover, you know, it's Undercover of His Protection, that I didn't notice. And I want to read that scripture to you in Exodus 14, verse 4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor and glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Okay, so glory, the Lord make Pharaoh's heart hard. You know, we know, you can see, go and watch those DVDs about the 10 plagues. It must have been quite bad when all the water turned into blood, or the frogs, or the insects that sting, and all that type of things. But it says that God made his heart hard, because he wanted to show the world at that stage. God wasn't, all the people didn't have Bibles like we have right now. You know, he wanted to show them that he's the king, that God is God, and that all glory belongs to him. I think it must have been amazing when Moses stood there, and all the people were standing at his back, and with the Red Sea in front of them, and that sea opened. It must have been amazing. I don't know exactly how it worked, but God says it happened. Okay, so that's one of those miracle moments, and I think the Egyptians that were standing there, their jaws must have dropped. It must have been something amazing to see. And then I think it closed very fast when the sea closed as well. That must have been quite a scary moment as well. But the fact of the matter is, guys, when we think at our prayer life, you know, sometimes you trust something. I shared with you, it's something I believe I have let go by now, but for many years, asked my dad, I was praying, I said, Lord, when do I get my form? I want a form. Lord, when do I get it? And it's about 15 years now, and I still don't have it. I told the one gentleman this morning, I do have some sheep, though. That's quite a blessing, and you guys are a big blessing. But you know, sometimes we pray about things like this, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen the way we want. But I believe, and it's biblical, that God is the good Father. He knows better. He knows what to give to us when. I know for a fact that my little boys, which is 3 years old, they shouldn't have motorbikes right now with engines, real engines. They do have these little black ones, but that's safe. Okay? But as parents, we all know what to give to our kids at certain ages. You know, you can't give things to them that will hurt them right now. Now, if I were to have the farm, say, at the age of 20, I would have probably messed it up, maybe even today still. So God knows better. But the same thing, if God can harden Pharaoh's heart, he was the most powerful man at that stage in history. God can do many things that we won't understand, that we will pray against maybe. And that's why it's so important to sit early in the morning or late at night, maybe look at the stars and just remember again that God is God. We can't twist his arm. We can pray and intercede. Scripture says when we ask according to his will or in line with his will, things will happen. Okay? So I'm not saying this morning that when we pray for X, Y, or Z, it's not going to happen. It can't happen. What I'm saying is we must grow in maturity to understand that when God gives something, the timing will be right. It's the same with this property. I'm not too worried about it because I know at the right time and moment, God will give us what we need. It's something that I believe we should trust in. I want to end off this morning, and I want to read Revelation 21 verse 1 to 8 to you. It's quite a long part, but just please listen to it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, or anything, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of water of life, without payment. He who conquers shall have heritage, and I will be his God, and they shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, guys, God isn't into alphabet, alphabetic things here. As you all would know, the Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter. And you know, God is telling us that He's the beginning. He started the history. You know, no one created God. God was there for always. That's the way we could understand it from Scripture. And one day, that's why I don't believe when a billboard says this date and this date, the Lord Jesus will come back. We know He will come back, but we will never know exactly when He will come back. But sometime, God will close the curtain upon the age that we live in. How it's going to work, it's in His hands. He will know what is best. He will know how many people still need to be saved, what still need to be done, all those type of things. I don't really want to go into that. But the point that I do want to make, and you can also see it in Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. So I'm saying to you this morning, God is the only God. Okay? God is a jealous God and He loves His glory. When we think in human terms, it sounds a bit arrogant. You know, when one of us would do something and you would say, it's because I'm such a wonderful person, or, you know, I've got the looks. I have to share this. I was once at a wedding and the bridegroom's brother said, yeah, you need to make a pen sketch before you come to the master painting. You know, and he was referring to his brother, that the brother is quite a good-looking guy, a pen sketch, but he's the painting, he's the wild guy. You know, and in the moment it was wonderful, it just worked out perfectly. And we know his heart in that sense, okay? But when we say to ourselves, I could do this because I'm so clever, or I'm so bright, or I'm so this or that, that's dangerous, guys. That is not giving glory to God. Sometimes people grow up and we are big and strong and we can do many things. But we should all just remember that at one stage, we were all young, we couldn't even feed ourselves or anything like that. In Psalm 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you heard, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I can read many more scriptures like that to all of us, guys. To end off, when we pray, whether our kids are sick, when we're trusting for a new job, whatever is happening, that we should just remember that God is God, that He's the Alpha and the Omega, He's the beginning and the end, and He knows exactly what He can give to us, when He can give to us. And I want to encourage, just as I said that evening when we were with India and Karina, that when little Zoe is better and they are in church today, I know they are better. They had a good night, a few good nights of sleep by now. That we can come to God and we can tell Him, all honor, all praise, all glory to Your name. Nothing, it's nothing about us, it's all about You. So can I ask you to stand with me this morning? I would like to pray with us and make a call to all of us. And I want to ask you this morning that we just close our eyes, that we just, at this stage, just look into our own hearts and just forget a little bit about the rest of the day or the things that we still want to do or anything like that, that we just focus for a while. And I wanna, while as all eyes are closed, I wanna bring it before, and I wanna hold it before us, that if you think back about the past year or maybe the few years of our lives, so many times, guys, I've seen it happen in my own life. We want something so badly. We really trust and we pray for it, and then it comes through, and then we are glad for a little while, and then we start to forget again, and then we just continue with life. But I wanna bring it before us. I said I'm gonna give us all a little bit of homework. And I want us all, when you go back to your home, maybe in the evening when things are quiet, maybe early next morning, that when you have quiet time and you sit still and you can listen to the birds, or maybe tonight when you can stand and you can look at heaven and the stars and the sky and everything that God said He made, that you will just be quiet and that you will just ask yourself, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you work, everything like that, how much glory are you giving to God? How much glory are you taking to yourself? God said, I will not give any glory to anyone else. And you know, when we stand in front of our Red Sea, when we stand in front of that something that's almost impossible that it will happen, you know, and God comes through, that we know that He is the God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Everything is in His hand. Some small little things we can do ourselves. But there's so many things, guys, that we can't control ourselves. We saw the earthquakes, we saw the floods in the north of Namibia, all these things happening. And we as intelligent humans, we are just standing and looking, because God is, and nature and everything is so much better. In Isaiah 6, verse 3, it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And I want to ask you as well this morning, do you love the glory of the Lord? And does your life glorify God by the things that you do? Not all of us are called to stand in the pulpit or play in the worship team or do the announcement or the offering. But all of us have a place where we live, a place where we work, our own families. And through our actions, the thing we do, we can glorify God. We can become glorious to God and be a reflective person about God, about what God has done in our lives. Father God, I want to thank you this morning, Lord God, that we can be here as a church, Lord God, as your children, as a family, Lord God, as your sheep, Lord God. And to thank you, Lord God, that Jesus said that his sheep will hear his voice. Father God, and so many times, Lord God, there will come a situation in our lives, Lord, and we will try by going left or right. We will trying to solve the problem, Father God, and so many times we will just run into a brick wall, Father God. But I trust, Lord God, that in this week that lies ahead, Lord, and in our prayer lives, Lord God, that we will come to you, that we will go to you, Lord God, and that we will sit still, Father, and just think what it means that all the glory belongs to you, Father God. The things that we do, the way we live, the way we talk, Lord God, even the way we give to each other, we give to the church, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us, Father God. And Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you will come into hearts and that you'll lead us and that you'll guide us, Lord God. And that you'll show us your ways, Lord God. And Father God, many times, Lord God, you're calling us to persistence, Father God. That many times we will pray for a year or two or five, Lord God. We will keep on praying for something. But Lord, I know in my heart, Lord, and from Scripture, that we can see, Lord God, that you are holding something back maybe because the timing or the season isn't right. And Father, when you come through for us, Lord God, or the more people that are praying, Lord God, that we can glorify your name just more, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you would have talked to us as a church about prayer in our own personal prayer lives, in our corporate prayer life, Lord God, and that we will just go back to Scripture and to look at how Jesus taught us to pray, Father God. And I just want to worship you, Lord, and praise you, Lord God. I pray that you'll bless and protect every family that is represented here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, friends, thank you for being here this morning. I hope you'll have a wonderful Sunday, that you'll, as the announcement said a bit earlier, that you will spend some time. There's coffee, there's something cool to drink, and have some fellowship. And I will see you next week, same time, same place. Amen.